Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of series 2. Yeah, that's the dry entry and welcome. This is the third podcast that I'm putting before you since my comeback to podcasting proper a couple of weeks ago now. Talking about Cheltenham on the basis, if you can't beat them, join them. I'm kind of tempted, as I am throughout the whole of the National Hunt season, to really, really try and draw a line under any chat of Cheltenham, about Cheltenham, until, you know, the Monday evening of the festival. Why? Because it's overdone, it's overhyped, you know, and you know, it is the nature of National Hunt racing. Unlike the flat, you know, we build to the peaks of the festivals in the springtime throughout the year, as opposed to the flat, which has, you know, festivals throughout the year. And who's to say one's better than the other? I like the rhythms of both seasons. But God almighty, you know, the jump season can get very hamstrung by the spring festivals, and Cheltenham in particular. You know, the hype surrounding a horse the moment it crosses a line, you know, is it a Cheltenham horse? It can be a bit wearing. So I tried to opt out of that, but yeah, here we are in the end of January, and here's a podcast all about Cheltenham. First things first, though, Cheltenham this last weekend, trials day, not a day when we as a sport covered ourselves in glory. It was a pretty meh sort of card beforehand anyway, I thought. You know, I couldn't really see any outstanding races, any outstanding bets. I think that's sort of testament to the fact there aren't enough good horses to go round. But, you know, when you get four runner and then three runner races and build as trials, well, they're not. You know, the trials are going to come this weekend at the Dublin Racing Festival. That will bear a lot more import on what happens at Prestbury Park in March than anything that happened on trials day. But, you know, it was always a bit of a damp squib, I felt, going into it. And, you know, as an adjunct going off down a rabbit hole, I think that outside of the festival, Cheltenham needs to look to its laurels a little bit. I don't think the quality of racing that they've been putting on there this season has been actually that fantastic, not in comparison with, you know, some of the other courses where they charge a lot less. But that's for the birds and to be discussed. So, you know, it wasn't a great card going in. And then obviously, you know, we had the accident that happened to Sir Gino. That could happen to any horse at any time. Sad that it happened on such a high profile Saturday in front of a big sort of TV crowd to one of the, yeah, let's face it, superstars of our sport. So, yeah, very galling. Upsetting for all the connections, upsetting for Nicky Henderson, Nico de Boinville, his stable lass connections, and so on. And you just hope that the horse does, well, I hope he lives, and then you hope, kind of with fingers crossed, that he does come back to racing and he's as good as he promised to be. But, you know, he's going to be a big loss, certainly at this year's festival, and you know, hopefully that is the extent of it, and he can come back, hopefully next season, you know, as good as ever. So, Sergino, that was bad. You know, and then we had the 410. Should it have gone ahead? Should it not have gone ahead? You take a breath back, a step back, you take a deep breath, and you look at all the information that you have available to you as a non-race goer on the day, and, you know, as somebody that's watching on TV, and you know, reasonable man says something reasonable. Well, that doesn't get engagement on a podcast. It doesn't get click through. I thought, in hindsight, and at the time, the wrong decision was taken. Am I going to get on my soapbox about this? No, I'm not. You know, they got away with it. And, you know, and I think that there's a lot of people that jump on their hobby horse and say, well, yes, they got away with it, but what about, you know, what about if it had been another Portland handicap and in that final race, horses had put their, you know, feet into holes and had injured themselves and injured their jockeys? What about that? What about that scenario? And that is a fair point. They didn't. There are issues surrounding whether participants in an event should be allowed to dictate whether that meeting, whether that event goes ahead. I think they should have an input of some sort, but I don't think they should be party to whether, you know, to the final decision that's made. that is in the hands of the clerk of the course on the day, ideally out of the hands of even him, because, you know, he's got people breathing down his neck. He's got the course executive and the bean counters down, breathing down his neck and demanding that the race goes ahead. So go ahead it did, and they got away with it. I think at the time, it would not have bothered me if the race had been cancelled. A, for the benefit of race goers at the time, because it was dark and cold, and, you know, they'd been sitting around waiting for ages, and more importantly, so had the horses. I think certainly my bet in the race, who has pulled up the Blue Room, I wouldn't be taking the form of that too great. You know, I just thought he probably got cold on the day and didn't fancy it, which to any sort of athlete trained to a peak, that can happen to them. But, you know, it happened and it went ahead. Cheltenham have got people going in today to do sort of surveys of the ground. And you know, on we go. One hopes that all or any matters arising will be dealt with before the festival. I mean, certainly if they're not, then I can't see the festival going ahead. That is dramatic and that is something extreme. But, you know, we've got 50 days before the start of the festival. Plenty of time to take a sound readings of what it is that was that caused the hole in the course. Is it more widespread across the entire course? And then to take remedial action so that the festival can go ahead. You know, there we are. That's kind of thoughts on Saturday. And, you know, people that jumped up and down and either side of the event, you know, isn't it terrible that racing went ahead with a horse's welfare? You know, on the other side, well, of course it went ahead. Fuck the horses. We got away with it. Machiavellian outcome is everything. That doesn't sit particularly well. There is a middle ground to be stirred, but yeah, middle line, reasonable, nuanced arguments. Butters, no parsnips in the world of social media, as we saw, certainly on Saturday night and well into Sunday. That's Saturday revisited by the Wrap podcast. And looking forward, we are now into the hype. I've read back about things that I've written and said about the festival. And if you go back to episode 16, you know, I talked about my feelings about Cheltenham and, you know, how it sort of stirred my soul. But, you know, a lot of the childish hype that goes on and the drivel that is written and spoken about the festival, which ramps up to superheated levels over the next 5-6 weeks, that can just go die. I am one of these people, strange people, that love the festival so much that I like it for what it is. I don't like it for the hype that surrounds it. I like it for, in my case, 5 days away. I go down to my little cottage, my little accommodation on the Monday, and spend Monday sort of looking at the form and, you know, looking at the race, and then going out onto the town Monday evening, and I'm there and then on course for the 4 days, come home Friday evening. So, you know, that's great. I love being away from home for those days, totally immersed in the form, totally immersed in my tribe, and that's all good. And, you know, I love being away with a bunch of overgrown schoolboys and schoolgirls on the wag from their work and from everyday life, immersed in things that really don't matter. A bunch of horses running around in circles. But I love it. I love the maelstrom of emotions and the people that you meet and the positions that are taken. I love it all. That is when I never feel more alive and excited at a sporting event. And it's great. I can wait for it, though. I do not wish my life away. I do not indulge in asinine countdowns. I don't go to preview evenings. I don't take much notice and store of preview evenings. I certainly don't keep myself across all the arcane stats and figures that are produced justifying why you should have this bet and not that bet and which trainers to follow and which horses. And it can get very, very tiring and become a labour, and it should never be a labour. It should be something that you love and look forward to. And if you missed that article in the Racing Post by some T-fowl head, well, is your life immeasurably worse? No, it probably isn't. you will survive. And if you're going, you're going to have a great old time on whatever terms you enjoy the festival on. And I've said this before, you know, you go and I'm reading books. Tony Iommi, the guitarist in Black Sabbath, I'm reading his book at the moment, his autobiography, and it's a great book. I love Sabbath, one of my all-time great bands. And he talks about when Ronnie James Dio comes into the band to replace Ozzy Osbourne and the new lease of life that gave to the band. And they talked about the album Heaven and Hell, which was the first album that Sabbath did after Osbourne left and Dio came in. And the different sort of lyrical approach that Dio brought to it, never mind the sort of vocals that he brought. And they talk about the song Heaven and Hell, and I started grooving on Heaven and Hell. And the lyrics are, the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's heaven and hell. That resonates. There are people that will tell you that, to quote the song again, they'll tell you that the moon is just the sun at night, basically, something along those lines. There are people that will tell you what you can and can't do, what you should and shouldn't be doing at Cheltenham. Fuck them. You do your own things. And you go your own way and you get out of Cheltenham what you want to get out of it. It's your time. And if you want to have that life-changing accumulator bet on a bunch of favourites at the festival, well, then you go for it. And if you want to have that life-changing Goliath on all the outsiders at the festival, well, you go for that too. If you don't want to be a generic drunken slob partying all night, if you want to go out and go home and have a shower, read a book, read the form, get to bed early, get up and have a run and go to the race course flinty-eyed and ready to do battle with the bookmakers. If that's your modus operandi for dealing with Cheltenham, will you go for that as well? You do not have to go with the crowd. You do you. And what is it, the lyrics? When you walk in golden halls, you get to catch the gold that falls. It's heaven and hell. Boom, boom. So there we go, in a full circle. Heaven and hell, Black Sabbath, blah, blah, blah. Gone down that particular little cul-de-sac. Quick handbrake turn out of it. But I hope you get the metaphor. I hope you get the groove that I'm trying to inspire with a bit of Black Sabbath. God, listen to the song. It's a fucking brilliant song. And Dio's vocals on it are just so fucking righteous. And Iommi's guitar is just something else, as it always is when it comes to his time with Sabbath. Whew, right, okay, so there we go. Final word, thanks to everyone that keeps on showing up and downloading these podcasts. I get sort of details through from Buzzsprout as to the number of people, number of downloads that I get each week. And people somewhere are exploring this back catalogue. And I thank you for that. I thank you for exploring the Raps back catalogue and getting from it what you will. And hopefully that's a template for going forward. I hope that's going to be something that you're going to do going forward. You're going to sort of bookmark these podcasts, which are going to be coming out on a more regular basis. I mean, this is my third one in a couple of weeks, so you know, I hope that's going to continue to be the case. Maybe not one every couple of weeks. I'm being a bit sort of high profile and good in terms of banging these out at the moment. That's not always going to be the case. I'm going to be ill, I'm going to be bored, life will get in the way. These things are rarely linear, but for now I'm enjoying it and I'm enjoying the interaction with yourselves. Give us a follow on X. It's at Racing What. Racing, then capital WHAT, Racing What on Twitter. You'll need to, I haven't got any other rap accounts on any other social media, but my name is Peter Bell, B-E-L-L, and you can search for me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as a social media site as well. So you know, just get back to me. Get back to me on any of these sort of platforms that this is going out on, as well as those socials that I've outlined. Because I'm doing it to generate engagement and not monetized engagement, not to look at how many followers I've got, but genuine face-to-face engagement. And if ever I'm on course, I won't say I'll buy you a drink because that might lead me to penury, but we will have a chat. And if you're a fellow race car, then you're already the creme de la creme of an already superior breed, because you're there, you're interested, you're committed to racing, and I love you for it already. Okay, that's it for now. Over and out, and and look forward to catching you again next time. But put one of these casts out. Hope you show up for that. Be lucky.